The National Transportation Safety Board is poring over the scene of the crash that killed NBA legend Kobe Bryant and eight others in Calabasas, California on Sunday. In his final transmission, the pilot of the helicopter reported to air traffic control that he was climbing above a cloud layer to gain greater visibility. There was no black box in the helicopter. Meanwhile, tributes continued to pour in for the victims, including Bryant's 13-year-old daughter. Kelly Carter, longtime journalist and writer for The Undefeated, interviewed Kobe over the years. Her last interview was a candid and introspective look at his career and plans for the future. Kelly, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
Well, in your last interview with Kobe, you write that he didn't necessarily want to talk basketball, but rather his plans in Hollywood and his role as a father. And as I read it, I thought, this is a real look at a progression of a man. We've all watched it from him being a teenager to a basketball phenom. Mm-hmm. And then this latest stage in life, what struck you most about this evolution?
Yeah, you know, first off, Kobe was ridiculously intelligent, just intelligent beyond measure. And I feel silly in some ways saying that, but I also think that it's necessary to say that too, because I think a lot of times we very much discount the intellect of athletes. We look at them as kind of almost inhumane machines. Mm-hmm. And Kobe was definitely in this kind of growing fraternity of male athletes who were really out on a mission to prove to themselves, and I imagine everyone else, that there was more to them than just the athleticism that we praised them for. And so, you know, he's someone who studied about what he wanted to be his next chapter, which was Hollywood. He was able to reach out to people who have been doing this and doing this well at high levels of excellency.
You wrote that his mentor was Oprah.
Oprah Winfrey, but also Shonda Rhimes. You know, one thing that Kobe was telling me was, to his amusement and kind of childlike surprise, is that fandom that he was getting back from an industry like Hollywood that he wanted to gain entry into.
Did he talk to you about what he wanted to do?
Yeah. He said that what he wanted to do was create content that always centered around sports. And he really looked at, and it's kind of funny when you think about it, but he really looked at Dear Basketball, the animated short that he won his Oscar for, as an experiment. An experiment that won the biggest prize you can possibly win in Hollywood. It was the most Kobe Bryant thing that Kobe Bryant could have done, but because that was a love letter and a breakup to the only thing that he'd known and loved. And, you know, interesting story about Kobe Bryant that not a lot of people are wholly aware, but certainly it's something that I talked to him about, is that he was supposed to play Jesus Shuttlesworth.
I read that in your
piece.
And
he got Kane.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Not Ray Allen. Spike Lee had picked Kobe to do this at the time. Kobe was this, you know, newly minted hotshot rookie, and he was all set to do it, but then he just, you know, wanted to spend the summer working on free throws and, you know, the game of basketball. So he pulled out of that movie
at the last minute.
And I asked him if he regretted that and if that was something that he wanted to do, because we see that's really the entryway for a lot of people who are in the sports world who want to get into Hollywood. Yep. You know, you look at Kyrie Irving. Kobe said no. He's like, I am not a front of camera person. Mm. You know, he wanted to wield his power behind the scenes and really just create opportunities. He wanted to diversify. You know, he wanted to see more women and more people of color gain entry into this profession. And that's really what he was trying to do.
Yeah. And thinking about his evolution, one other thing that really struck me, not only in your writing, but in your dear friend Jemele Hill's writing about the evolution of Kobe, she wrote about an argument that both of them had around the killing of Trayvon Martin, who was shot to death in Florida. But then how Kobe's thinking evolved in that, and how he wanted to be very introspective and actually talk through that evolution. A lot of people are also grappling with what to include in Kobe's story.
Sure.
And his legacy, the rape allegation is one. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about this?
Yeah, you know, I have, and I'll be honest with you. I, like a lot of other people, I'm not quite sure what to say about that. You know, Kobe, in the aftermath of that allegation in particular, apologized. And in his apology, what he said was, at the time, I thought it was consensual. It is evidence to me now that she didn't. And for that, I apologize. And I wonder if we should give someone the space to have growth and evolution. And I think about who I was at 17 and where my ideologies were when I was 17, when I was 21, versus where my ideology is now. And I know that Kobe was a little bit older. He wasn't a teenager when the allegations happened. But I think that what gives us growth and evolution is experience, right? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we don't allow people with great visibility that same extension. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is a case where we should do that, but maybe it is. Mm-hmm. It's just hard. And I choose to believe that because he was a father of four girls, that also probably changed his perspective on the agency that women have over their bodies. And unfortunately, we will never know if he arrived at that particular place. We're only left with assumptions, I think.
Yeah. Kelly Carter is writer for The Undefeated. Thank you so much for joining us, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.